Okay, 2 days ago we were learning about lichbench and lighting Shabbos candles. Shulchan Aruch says like this. So we're learning the reason for it, how many candles and that whole thing, which rooms need the candles. Now Shulchan Aruch says the best you think to use for Shabbos candles is oil, Shemen Zayas. But Rebbe brings down that by the Rabbeim and Beis Harav they did not use oil, as we know, they used plain candles. So there are women that use oil, but the Rebbe writes in Rebbe's houses, they only use the candles. Now, even if you use oil, there's an interesting shaila that the Pos can bring down. Are you allowed to use non-kosher oil for Hanukkah, Shabbos candles? You know, are you allowed to use them? Are they allowed to be used for the mitzvah? The question over here is, what's the basis of the question is very simple. The Gemara says that by tefillin, sefer Torah, and mezuzah, over there that we say every day if you wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, it says, L'mantia Torah Hashem beficha. That the Torah, concerning tefillin and that whole thing. So it says over there in the Pasuk that the Torah of Hashem should be on your mouth. So the Gemara learns out from that Pasuk that tefillin, mezuzah, and Sefer Torah, has to be from kosher materials. Meaning, you need to have a kosher animal. It doesn't have to be shechted, the Gemara says. But you can't write a Sefer Torah on parchment from a non-kosher animal. The ink that you use for Sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzah, has to be a kosher ink. Cannot have fat animals from fats of whatever they make from the different animals. So now that's clear in the Gemara. Now there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, two things. Does that only apply to those three things? Or does it apply to everything? In other words, you want to use Shabbos candles? Does it have to be kosher material? Can you use, they used to have like, we have, you used to make candles from oil, from the fats of animals. So you have the kosher fats, just called shumen. You have the tefer fats, they're called chelev, that you're not allowed to eat. So there's a big argument in the Rishonim. By a biblical mitzvah, if you have to use everything kosher or not. Or does it have to be kosher? In other words, some poskim say it only applies to Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. Some poskim say, no, it applies to all positive mitzvah. 1 second. Then there are opinions that say that by a rabbinic mitzvah, even those many opinions that say by a biblical mitzvah it has to be kosher material, but by a rabbinic mitzvah, it doesn't have to be kosher materials. And therefore, they would paskin that if it's Shabbos oil or Hanukkah oil, halachically, it doesn't have to be a kosher oil. Okay, you can use any oil for Shabbos, or for that matter, the candles that you use on Shabbos. They don't have to be a kosher, again, today everything's synthetic, but they used to make it from the fats of animals. They used to make the candles. So then they hold that and that's most poskim say that. Teres Chesed was a student at the Tzemach Tzedek poskims like that. That by rabbinic mitzvahs you don't need that it should be kosher. But
so what about like bar soap? It's not a mitzvah, but like,
the only type of bar soap you wouldn't be allowed to use technically is if it's meat and milk together, because you can benefit from non-kosher animals. You can't benefit from meat and milk together. So if somebody wants to make soap out of a tray for animal, there's no problem. Question is, should you wash your dishes with that soap? That's a separate issue, because then you're doing about kashrus. Then the tray for stuff maybe would go into the dish that you're washing, and then you'll have, if it's hot water. What?
On his question, so I was at Starbucks before COVID, and I was having a meeting. So as I was getting my black coffee, the non-Jewish person with me, I was being cordial and said, oh, what can I get you? And they said, great, I'll have a baking Gouda sandwich. And I said, and I paid for it. And I was sitting there thinking, is that considered hanaf and basa v'cholam? It's not for me. A guy ordered it. I definitely paid for it. I kind of got very last minute.
Yeah, there's... it's after the facts, okay? You did a few things wrong.
Oh, okay.
Number one, a Jew is not allowed to give a non-Jewish person non-kosher food.
Non-Jewish person can't
give? It's a dinish chunara. That's if you're doing business with it. For instance, to give an example, I know we're going off topic. There's a lot of Jews that own nursing homes, retirement hotels, as they're called, of non-kosher places, right? No Jews. They're frumma people. Have a lot of them own nursing homes in L.A., in New York, in Chicago, in the big cities. The Jews own a lot of these convalescent homes. And some of them, my mom is little chatchila. It's not kosher food. There's a big, in halacha, you should know, you take shchunach as it is, they would have to serve kosher food to all their clients, all the patients. Okay? They have a tatum, you know, they sell like chametz. You sell you leave it to the Jews and money. They sell it to a guy and this, and then the guy owns the business and it's not them giving it. So number one, you're not supposed to give a guy non-kosher food. Why, by the way? Even a private guy. I'm not allowed to send a guy, a friend of mine, non-kosher food. Why? Because the guy, I got it from the Jew, he might think it's kosher, and he'll give it to another Jew. So because, this is what it says in Shchunach, it's a din Shchunach, and that's not some. Now, there's another thing, you can't benefit from meat and milk. Now, when you give a gift to anybody, that's automatically called pleasure. It's hanor. Because it creates a relationship between the two. So somebody, let's say, has a housekeeper, and they got a cheeseburger, okay, from whatever. They're not allowed to give it to the non-Jewish housekeeper because they're benefiting from meat and milk.
But can your housekeeper eat with the flesh meal that you made? Take some cheese and put it on top of it? I mean, they use their...
If they have their own equipment, then she's doing it. You're not benefiting from their meat and milk. You're giving them what things they're allowed to... Okay, let's get back here. Now, another issue with candle lighting is... And it's an exception of candle lighting and mikveh, by the way. And netilas yadayim. Three exceptions. Candle lighting, netilas yadayim, and mikveh for a woman. Now normally the Gemara learns out in Psachim that when you make a bracha, you have to do it over lasiyasin. Over lasiyasin means, the Gemara says, before you do the mitzvah. Before you tie the knot of the tefillin, you have to make a bracha. Before you wrap the tzitzis, you have to make a bracha. Why? Because once you put the tefillin on already, you already did the mitzvah. If I did the mitzvah, how can I say she could shana be mitzvah of a tzivanu? We're commanded, you're not commanded. Like we learned Tishri time. If somebody takes a lulav and esrog before they make a bracha and shake it, you can't make a bracha anymore on the lulav and esrog because you did the mitzvah. But the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that the bracha of mitzvahs have to be done before you do the mitzvah. Now, there's a problem, listen, we're learning lichbench, we'll talk about lichbench. The problem is, so normally what should really happen is, a woman should light her match or whatever, and then make the bracha to light candles, and then she should light the candles. The problem with that is that she can't do that. Why? Because the second she makes a bracha, she accepts Shabbos. Once she accepts Shabbos, you can't light candles anymore on Shabbos. So therefore, what's the halacha? Everybody agrees with this din, obviously. It's not something most anybody argues on. So the din is like this. So the woman first has to light the candles. And even that's a machlekes. The Alter Rebbe brings down an opinion that the second she finishes the last candle, she accepts Shabbos already. And then the question is, can you extinguish the match or not? That's a whole... we'll get that in later. The Alter Rebbe basically says you shouldn't extinguish the match. Now, but one thing is for sure, if the lady makes a bracha, then she accepts Shabbos, she can't light all the candles. A woman doesn't accept Shabbos until she finishes lighting all the candles. If she's lighting five candles, then she's not accepting Shabbos until she finishes lighting all five candles. So the woman does it like this. She lights all five candles. Then she covers her eyes. Why does she cover her eyes? And then she makes the bracha. When her eyes are covered. Because basically, what your kam, not to play peekaboo, like people think. She covers her eyes as if to say, I am not benefiting from the candles yet. So I didn't light them, because I'm not benefiting from them. So therefore, she covers her eyes and then makes the bracha. And then when she removes her eye covering of the hands, then she's benefiting from the light. So then it's considered, as much as you can, that she made the bracha before the candling, the kindling of the lights. Because the purpose of the kindling, we learned, not like Hanukkah, the purpose of the kindling is to benefit from the lights. So when she lights and she covers her eyes, she's not benefiting from it. So in essence, she didn't light the candles yet. So then when she makes the bracha and she uncovers her eyes, so then she actually made the bracha before she lit the candles. And that's why, and the same thing when it tells you Yadayim. You go wash for bread. Ideally, what do? We wash our hands and then we make the bracha. L'chayre, if you think about it, you have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So really, before we wash our hands, we should make the bracha shekasham mitzvah v'son on tils yadayim, and then we should wash our hands for bread. Why don't we do that? So it says in halacha, because your hands are impure. That's why you're washing them. And the truth is, part of the rubbing of the hands and drying the hands is part of the mitzvah. So we don't want to, because we're already purifying our hands, so we wait until we purify the hand, meaning washing it, and we're still in the middle of the mitzvah, because the rubbing of the water on the hand and making the drying it is part of the mitzvah. So then again, it's considered as if we made the bracha before we did the mitzvah. Same thing with mikvah. A woman, she tavels once, let's say, and then she makes the bracha, and then she continues taveling. Why? Because she's becoming pure, so we'll wait until she tavels once, but she's not done yet because she's going to be tavling more times. So then she makes the bracha. But these are the three exceptions to the rule of that you make a bracha after you did part of the mitzvah. What?
Why can't she, in lighting the candles, make it to nine in her head? Because she's long kept until it's lit and she said the bracha. Can you know, take your
one? Okay, number one, the whole condition bit says only in time of need. Yochatchilo, don't make
so
a...
Halacha should be that way. Why
no, because halacha says you could do it a different way. No,
but why is it that as soon as she lights or as soon as she says the bracha, she was in
Kabbal Shabbos? She's like, how does it mean the Kabbal Shabbos?
Baruch.
Baruch. We learned that 2 days ago. Baruch. But he's saying something about Shabbos. Especially according to our text of the bracha. What would the women make, basically you said from the Alter Rebbe and down, Lahadik Nershul Shabbos Kodesh, once she says Shabbos Kodesh, she was Mekayim the Mitzvah Zochas Him a Shabbos Lekachin. So for her, for sure, Shabbos then. Now, because of that, many opinions, and the people have a minig, that Yom Tif, you don't do that with covering the eyes. Why? Because Yom Tif, you are allowed to light candles. So, many people have a minig that on Yom Tif, they first light the candles. After they light all the candles, then they light one candle, because you can't strike a match. They have one candle, and then they make the bracha, Lad Nekner She Yom Tif, or whatever it is, and then they light all the candles. The Alter Rebbe says in Shechon Aruch, we don't do that, because we don't differentiate between one lighting of Yom Tif and Shabbos. People get confused. Another poskim, a lot of other poskim bring that down too. So by Yom Tov, there's different minhagim. In fact, Alter Rebbe holds the first night of Yom Tov, you're also supposed to bench licht 18 minutes before Shkia, even though many places they have a custom Yom Tov. When the husband comes home, before Kiddush, the women will go bench licht from a pre-existing friend. But again, those are the various different customs.
Why in the case of the mikvah, why does the woman have to bench once first?
Because she wants to purify herself, because becoming purified, so... It says, because you're becoming pure, so you might as well make a bracha when you're pure rather than when you're still impure.
Why do you go like this?
We'll talk about that tomorrow. Why? It's not waving. In fact, it's a minute dafka three times to go to. What the mitzvah shem tomorrow night? Machachin, it's a maishamah, mechabe, b'mayim, given shabalah, gal, tayyid, abachanan, makashi, medal, tukad, bochazak, sovich, evalam, termishinamah, dinah,